Thank you, Lord, once again for the privilege, Lord, to be called by your name. Only in this beautiful name, the wonderful name, life-giving name of Yahshua HaMashiach, our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is that salvation, Lord. We thank you for that name. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy towards us today. We come in this time now as you approach your word, Lord. Bless those who are not here today. Bless those who even so, Father. Touch their spirit, Father, for those that are in conflict. And knowing that, Father, we are living in the world now, in the time, there's so much pressure coming on. From everything that is around us. Because we know, Father, the population of the world have increased so much. The Lord, problems arises in the political world, the financial world, even the religious world, as well as spiritually. We're at a time, Father, that people can become so sensitive, Lord, to a little problem in life and become pressured by it, frustrated by it. We ask for your grace, O Father, that when all this squeeze comes, not just from in our religious or in our spiritual life, or in what we believe, but everything else around us, Lord, that comes upon us, we pray that you give us the strength, Lord, to be able to fight the good fight of faith. We ask for your grace then, Lord, to touch everyone far away, even from here, in other country, be with them and bless them all too, Lord. Asking this, Father, right now in Jesus' name, your blessing. Amen. You may be seated. Just look at the chart now and look at the chart and we'll look at this seven again, as we know. Just to recap, and as you know, we have finished the first four feasts. And remember this, that this feast of Jehovah deals with basically the children of Israel, to make them to understand that hidden in this feast are the appointed times in which God will manifest himself as the Savior. And his plan and purpose for the nation of Israel and all the nation of Israel to reach out to the Gentiles, the rest of the world. So when we look at the seven feasts, you must always look at the bottom. This is the feast that the children of Israel have to do, the thing that they have to carry out in during each and every one of these seven feasts. But we know that the first four feasts in the first 6 months of the year, which is actually only the first 3 months, rather. Because the first 6 months, as I said, it deals with Israel as a religious people. Whereas the second half of the sixth of the year, from Tishri, or the seventh month, to the 12th month, they were children of Israel as a natural people, a nation of people, the civic side of them. Alright? So, we know that when this first four feasts, we like to look closely, we have seen it, that it actually was fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ in His death, in the as the unleavened bread, in communion with the saints, with His in His word, and then the first fruit as to His resurrection. And then 50 days later, from the day of the first fruit, is Pentecost. And Pentecost is that day, or is the feast where our Lord Jesus Christ returned in the form of the Spirit upon those that believe in Him, the Jews. Okay? Now, of course, we know that the Jews, after some years, they still are so much attached to their traditions that Paul could not get across to them and decided, therefore, to go to the Gentiles. And so we have this present interval. And after this present intervals is where we get the Trump, the Atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacle. Now, when we have these last three feasts, which we'll do later on, we find that it has nothing to do with the Gentiles. Okay? Because first of all, you must understand that all these, even on the top, the first four, has nothing to do with the Gentiles. Because it first to deal with the Israel first. And but Israel rejected it, so he went over to Gentile, and Gentile saw the whole fulfillment of this first four feasts. You understand that? So remember, all these feasts are the feasts of Yahweh with Israel, not with the Gentiles. Okay, because what is being done has been carried out in this feast, the ritual that must be carried out. Okay, but it types something spiritually. Not just the ritual that they do, not the literal thing of saying a literal lamb, apply the blood on the doorpost and so on and so forth, wave the bread and so on. You understand that? So you all reflect in the spiritual side. So now today we're going to deal with the present intervals. Alright? So let us go to the book of Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. And we will read from verse, we just want to read verse 22, because that is the verse that we want to pick it up. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field. When thou harvest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord. Okay, let us read also Acts 15, verse 14. Then we'll talk about this. 15, verse 14. Simeon have declared how God at the first did visit the Gentile to take out of them a people for His name. Okay, so he did here with the Gentile, how that God visited the Gentiles. Okay? Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of these mysteries, lest ye be wise in your own conceit. The blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentile be come in. Until the fullness of the Gentile ends, so to speak. Now, we look at this, just want to draw here and have an idea. Alright, we have the first four feasts already finished. Okay? There we have this space, or, well, from Pentecost till the first of Tishri. Alright, the feast of trumpet. Okay? This is called the present interval. We all just call it present interval. Now, obviously when we look at it, we actually know. Because, like the 70th week of Daniel, there is always a breakage. First 6 years, or first 6 weeks, then the 63 weeks. Then there is a break, a complete break off from the 69, between the 69 and the 70th week of Daniel. So that space is actually this space. Okay? The 70th week of Daniel 6, and then there is a 63 week. There's not much of a break here. Then that will be give you 69 weeks altogether. And then that space where the 70th week of Daniel comes in. So this space here is the present interval. Alright, and we are in the present intervals. Now the Bible shows us this, and I already said this, that here the number of days from Pentecost all the way to just before the trumpet, the feast of trumpet, is a total of 119 days. And this will be the 120th day. Right. So now, when when Moses said in the book of Leviticus 23, in verse 22, so when you come into your land, and when you reap the harvest of your land, don't make clean riddance of it. Verse 22, right? It's Leviticus 23:22. Don't make clean riddance of it. When you harvest, don't just harvest everything of it. So you have a field. Alright, we have a field, a square field. Okay. Field. Now, when you harvest it, whatever is on the corner, on the edge of it, don't go and clean up everything. Just leave it here. He says, you shall leave it unto the poor and to the strangers. So you have two kinds of people right there. The poor and the strangers. So who are the poor and who are the strangers? When we read the Bible, we have begun to understand that those who are not the poor are the rich, of course. Okay? So considering that God bless Israel, and Israel as a nation are generally rich, we will say, in those days. Right? But you know, this is the initial, that when they went in. But there are Israel people, they are not well off as those that are working hard. Because like in any nation, okay, it is meritocracy. Is it meritocracy we call it? Right? Everybody is fair. You work hard, you gain in the field. If you work hard in the field, you get a bigger harvest. If you don't work hard, you don't get much, obviously. Okay? So, there are always some poor that need some help. They always be there. But who are the strangers? And the strangers are those who are not Jew, or those who are not Israelites. So the strangers are people like you and me, the Gentiles out there. So that is to say, there is only one field. Now, let's go to this one particular message that Jesus talked about. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 13. Alright. Now, Matthew chapter 13, we have the seven parables here. Now, I want you to observe something very carefully. Because I guess a lot of people read, unless you are studying, you will notice it. Okay? In chapter 13, And it says here that the same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, a great multitude would gather together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and so on, and so on, and so forth. Right? You know the parables of the sower. Okay. So now, when he spoke like this, in verse 9, he said, Who have ears to hear? Let him hear. Okay? Now, he didn't expound it. Remember? He only says that, for example, like verse 4, when he saw some seed upon the wayside, and the fowl came and devoured them. Some fall upon stony ground where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because there was no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scourged. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell upon the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And other fall into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who have ears to hear him? That's all that he said. And if you're a farmer, say, yeah, of course I know, right? You throw seeds and you sit on along the wayside, because there's no ground. Here comes the bird. You pick it up and eat it and take it away. And they'll fall upon the side where there is some earth. You grow up a little while, and then after that the sun comes out, it dies out, and so on and so forth. Lord knows this. But now the disciple in verse 10 said, What do you speak unto them in parables? Okay, now there is one thing about it, that Jesus began to make sense to the disciple, and then when we read it, we can understand. So, you see, in verse 11, Because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now that is kind of strange, you know. So we go all into the world and preach the gospel. We want people to be saved. Sure. Is that not right? Huh? We want to be a savior to people, try to bring them to the knowledge of the Savior, the Son of God. But yet, not everyone can hear. Huh? The other day, last Sunday, I was on my way home and went over to Lot 1, you know, the mall there, and left the station, came out the gate. Here was this young lady, you know, you can see a lot of people trying to sell you something. He came up to me, and hand filled with some papers down, asked me, sir, can I talk to you for a while? Do you have investment? Do you have insurance and all that, you know? Then I asked her, and said, yeah, I have insurance. Of course, I have my investment, of course. You know, I have money in the bank, obviously. You know, say, what do you think about Prudential? I said, Prudential, I don't think much about Prudential. You know, I said, why? He says, I don't need it. I don't need to invest in Prudential. Are you working? I said, yeah, I'm working. What do you work? He said, I'm a missionary. Mission. Oh, you are a Christian. You're a preacher. I said, yeah. Are you? He said, I'm a Christian too. I said, okay. Then I start talking to her. The only 5 minutes she spoke to me, I spoke to her 10 minutes and gave her 3 books. And I said, you read it? Okay, I'll read it. You know, and so at every opportunity I can to sell the gospel, sell it without price. Remember the Bible says, come buy without price. Took every opportunity that you can speak. You know, so anyway, that's what the Bible says. But yet, we can preach to people, we can share with people, yet they do not have an ear to hear the real mysteries of God. Because the mystery of God is only to reveal to those that are God's. You understand? To those that are His disciples. That's why I say, you know the difference between a disciple and a follower? A follower just follow. God said left, they turn left. God said right, they turn right. But they are not disciplined in what God wants them to do. So a disciple is different. You see, so that to unto you is make known the mystery of the kingdom. Okay, now after Jesus explained to them, look at the second parable. And I want you to see if you can notice something. Okay, in the second parable, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seeds in his field. And when men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way, and so on and so forth. I just want you to notice the first verse. What do you see in the difference between the first parable about the sower and the second parable about the sower? Huh? You see, in the first parable, there was nothing. If you look closer, what do you see among them? Do you see anything about the kingdom of heaven they mentioned? No, you don't see it mentioned there, do you? You look at one down, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Do you see any mystery of the kingdom there? No, because it's just the first parable. Even though in the verse 11, it is told to the disciples, the mystery of kingdom, of the mystery of heaven, is not given to them, but is only given to you. But yet, the first parable begins without about the mystery of kingdom. You understand that? Okay, not that it wasn't the mystery of kingdom, because why? You must understand that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, it begins the church. Right? But before Pentecost, before Christ came down, the day of Pentecost, he already was preaching the kingdom and the gospel, the kingdom of God, and so on. Okay, but now it's mentioned about the kingdom of heaven as the space, or the present intervals, we will say. Okay, so now in the second parable, it says, a sower went forth to sow. Where did he sow his seed? In the first parable, there was nothing mentioned about him sowing seeds in his own field. But we know that Jesus came to preach the gospel. A sower went forth to sow. He preached the gospel. So he was just scattering the seed. Do you understand that? But only on the day of Pentecost when he comes, that begins the sower to sow seed in his own field. Do you understand that? Okay, so when Jesus came, it was just a general sowing of seed. The Pharisees heard it, everybody heard it, all this, but you know, he just sowed his seed and he said, he that have a ear, hear, let him hear. And yet apparently a lot of people didn't understand. Right? And even so that someone saw that when he began to expound a deeper thing, they start running away. You see? So that's why I told the disciple, he said, I cannot tell you anything more until I go, the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you and lead you into all truth. Because now when the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost, he can enter in to the hearts of men. He was sick of his own. When Jesus came and he preached, he didn't go to the Gentiles. Remember? Huh? He only said, I came to seek for the lordship of the house of Israel. He was very specific. Even the Phoenician woman, he met how he turned to ask for some grace, some, you know, for your healing. And Jesus says, no, I cannot give you bread, you know, that which was for proper for my people, and I cannot give it to you. I don't give it to dogs. And yet, here we see something that hint of the light of Israel going to the Gentiles. But basically, the gospel goes to his chosen people. And yet God has a plan to which we will also be a part of that group of people that are chosen. So now in the second parable, he said, now Jesus Christ sowed in his own field. So Jesus Christ don't sow seeds in other people's field. Now as a farmer, you know. Huh? You definitely don't go and tell a farmer and another farmer next door, let me sow seed in your field. He would say, but most welcome. You see, so Jesus sows his seed in his own field. So even if it's his own field, now watch. If it is in his own field, what kind of seed did he sow? Huh? Wheat. Good seed, right? He cannot sow bad seed. It means the whole of this field, everything that spring up must be good seed. Must be the same kind of seed that he sowed. But the problem we know then, it says after men died, after the apostle died, man came in and sowed tares. And that's why we have
Nicolaitan spirit comes in, the Antichrist spirit comes in, and then start to sow tares and come up with all kinds of doctrines. Then later on, the spirit of Nicolaitan became a doctrine to which the Catholic Church used it and put the clergy above the laity and have all these priests and cardinals and Monsignor and the Pope. Huh? So now, even in his own field, of course, that's what Jesus, but some God told Moses, who tell the people not to get all those, harvest all the corners. Don't do that. Leave some for the poor and the strangers. Alright, so now we are in this present interval. Okay. So we have the Passover that is finished. We have the unleavened bread that is finished. And now, we come to this period of the intervals. And I said this, and it's so wonderful that from the time of the Passover to the unleavened bread, and then the first fruit, we come to Pentecost. From the first fruit to Pentecost, we have seven plus one, right, which is Pentecost itself is also a Sabbath. Okay, so now we want to look at this number again, if in case you've forgotten. 119. And we know that we said that the number 119 is 7 times 17. Huh? It's, wow. What did I say about 7? 7, we know the Bible show, it means a number of spiritual perfection. Okay? And 17 is a number, it's a sum of 7 plus 10. And you make up of two numbers, 7 again being perfection, spiritual perfection. What is number 10? Huh? Ordinary perfection. Perfection of order. When God gives 10 commandments, that's fixed 10. Your hand, your finger, you have 10. Your toes, you have 10. So, these are the perfect ordinances. And I already show you two places in the scripture. If you have forgotten, we can go over to it. Just go to the book of Romans. Alright, go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, 35. If you have forgotten, chapter 8 and verse 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's the question asked. Shall tribulation? 1. 2. Distress? 3. Persecution? 4. Famine? 5. Nakedness? 6. Peril? 7. Sword. Okay? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that love us. For I am persuaded, now a reply. For I am persuaded that neither one death, nor two, nor life, nor angels, 3, 4, nor principality, 5, nor power, 6, nor things present, 7, nor things to come, 8, nor height, 9, nor death, 10, nor any other creatures. So you have this. Okay, the other one that we have already shown you also in Hebrews chapter 12. And this the thing is that when the Bible put patterns like this, there is something very significant, because it's always a question and answer, and then or give you a significance of places or definite or confirmation of things. Okay. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 18. Chapter 12 verse 18. For we are not come, 1, the mouth that might be touched, 2, that burn with fire, 3, nor unto blackness, 4, and darkness, 5, and tempest, 6, and the sound of the trumpet, 7, the voice of wood. Okay, alright, there's 7. And then you go right up to verse 22. But we are come unto 1, Mount Zion, 2, unto the city of the living God, 3, the heavenly Jerusalem, 4, to an innumerable company of angels, 5, to the general assembly, 6, a church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, 7, to God the judge of all, and 8, to the spirit of just men make perfect, and 9, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and 10, to the blood of sprinkling that speak better things than that of Abel. Okay, so the number is significant, because all this deal with the gospel. This is a period that dealt with the gospel. That's what these two verses was telling us. Who can separate from them, from Christ and so on? It cannot be that one, because this is the period God is dealing with His seed, His field. Okay? So now, because the Jew, they didn't receive, the majority of generally rejected the gospel. So Paul turned to the Gentiles. Alright. And out there in the world, of course, there are people that are seeking for the richness of truth. So the poor, obviously. Blessed are the poor, for they shall see God, and so on and so forth. There are a lot of people that in their life they don't, maybe just like Brother Ingfang was giving testimony this morning. We all don't really seek for God, many of us. And we are working in this world, maybe we think that we are rich. And he said everything is okay, huh? But we don't realize that we are poor, miserable, and naked. And then something hit us. God began to feed us with a little thing. And then we come to the truth. You see. But we are also strangers. And do you know that in the world, in this period of the present interval, that there are a lot of Jewish people that actually came to the gospel. Right? Yes. So here's one of the things. And even those that are related to Jew, like the Arabs, have brothers of, maybe through Ishmael, or through the Esau group. And how many of you have read the testimony of, or listened to the testimony of the son of Hamas? He didn't know his father, and there's a price on his head, but he was still poor enough to really testified of his faith in Christ. And one thing he said, I'm a Christian. I don't belong to denomination. Denomination is also a problem. Which is true. The organization is a problem. I don't belong to any denomination or any church. Because the gospel said Jesus came to save sinners. And he hit out at organized religion. You see. So, the poor and the strangers are having a great time in this present interval. And the Jew, they already thought that they have the great thing. And it was during this time of the present interval that for the last 2,000 years, that the children of Israel were scattered throughout the world. So this space of the present interval, before him, Christ or God or Yahweh return back to Israel, is that space or 1 night days or these present intervals in which God deals with us all. Now, I want you to notice about this Numbers 7 again, or 17, we will say, not 7. Do you know that number 17 happens to be the 7th prime number? You know the prime number, right? 2, 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, 17. 17 happened to be in the 7th position of the prime number. So you still have that 7. And do you know that if you were to add 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 until you plus 17, what number do you get? 153. Remember 153 number, which is still here in this present time. 153. Why do you get this 153 number? John, the last chapter of John. Okay, let's go to the last chapter of John. Many of you simply forget about this number. John chapter 21, the last chapter. And in verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. Not just small fishes, great fishes. 153. And yet, all that so many, the net was not broken. 153. So, adding 1 plus 2 plus 3 and so on until you plus 17 equals 153. And the 153 you know is 9 times 17. And what is number 9? Interesting number, that's the number, a single digit. The next is 10. And from 1 to 9, 9 is the last number, so it is known as the final number or finality. That's it. Final number. There cannot be more, it cannot be less. So until what Paul we read early on in Romans 11:25, until the fullness of Gentile be come in. Okay, say Paul was saying, don't be ignorant of this mystery. God has turned to visit the Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles ends. God will not return to Israel. So this period of the present interval, the period of the present interval must come to an end. And he will bring in 153 fishes, which the fight that represents the elect. So when the last fish come in, present interval is over. The final number has come in. And also to say that it is, well, we have 7 times 17, which is perfection. And 17 is the sum of 7 and 10, which we know we already read early on in those two verses. The confirmation, the place where we go, nothing tear us apart from Christ. We are not coming to a place that is physical, that can be destroyed, but we are coming to Mount Zion. We are not coming to the hill that, you know, that it cannot be touched, and things like that, and no signals can destroy us, and all that. So, this is the period we are living in. Alright? So now let us go to some of the verses here. Let us go to John, and verse 24. Very, very, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abide alone. If it die, it bring forth much fruit. And we know that speaks of Christ. Okay? And I want you to go to John chapter 4, verse 35. When Jesus came and preached, he said, a corn of wheat must die, and so on. So he was talking about his death and to bring forth children unto God. And yet while he was preaching, he also makes this mention here in John chapter 4. Say not ye,
They are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. So at that season of time, Jesus was actually, the particular season there was already the barley field is already ripe for harvesting. You know? And Jesus was just giving an illustration. He said, don't say yet 4 months, then come up the harvest. Just look. You know, it's already harvest time. They're already ready for harvest. And he's not telling the disciple that the beginning of harvesting should start now. And that's why for you to harvest, you need to go and preach the word. And so on. Okay? So this is the expression of Christ talking about the harvest that's ready. Every time when Jesus talks about the harvest, he's always going to be talking about the present time. I mean, here is still harvest time for us because we are in the present age or present interval. Okay? Let's go and look again in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. Therefore say he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Alright. That's what Jesus said. And you know, evangelical churches and all, they want to use this verse to try to stir up the believers to go out there and be a witness. Or to be, to go out there to really spread the word of God, or spread the gospel. Now, when I was in a denomination, I was very, very active for that. Come back from work, I start doing that. Alright? And when I was in nursing, I start to spread the word among the nurses until many of them call me all kinds of names. Like I told you, they call me Father Gunn, you know, Reverend Gunn, and Holy Gunn, whatever. And so there was a time when that was back in the 60s, 70s. But how long is the period of trying to sow? If we have, just the thing, I mean, if a period of time for you to sow and to harvest, the sowing must be at the beginning, the harvest at the end. Right? You understand what I'm saying? The sowing must be at the beginning, the harvest must be at the end. But yet Jesus can say, see, yet not 4 months, then come out the harvest. The field is already ready. Just to make us aware that every time that we are, as far as we are living on this earth now, as far as we are a witness, we are a laborer, we are still servants of the Lord. Whenever we can help somebody to see the gospel, we will do it. A person may not hear the gospel. Remember, they are the poor. Just Moses said, don't harvest every corner of your field, leave it to the poor. So that means that they are still struggling grain out there. You know, those stocks of grain out there that the poor still, you know, can come and help them. It's to be given to them. So there is a we, as laborers, remember that we be able to feed the poor who do not have the gospel, who do not have the spiritual richness that we have. See, a stranger to you, somebody, you know, that you can want to give some spiritual word, some spiritual good, give it as well. Do you understand that? But generally we know that the space of time, the sowing starts here. The reaping must be at the end of the season, when the seed sprung up into grains, into stalks of ripened grain. That is the harvest. So the harvest must end at the end. At the end of it, you don't sow as much as you do at the beginning. Do you also what I'm talking about? Right? You see? So, the husbandman wait for the harvest field. How harvesting now? So, today the message that God has given us. What is this message all about? What is the message all about? And I still fear for many people who came into this message and yet still do not understand. The message was given to us to get us out of the system. Now, we know throughout the seven churches, God allowed errors to be there because He was restoring. Remember the churches, how it started, how the Nicodemus came in, Antichrist came up, one after another, how that they put clergy over the laity, then they bring in all kinds of lambening doctrine into the church, and then it went to a dark age. And then God sent Martin Luther. Yeah? And others. Then Whitfield came along, John Wesley came along, Hudson, Hucks, and all these came along. Sanctification came on. Then Pentecost came on. The seven church age. Now we are in the seven church age. Now, I said this and I said it again. If we are aware of what God is showing us, if we really understand what God has been showing us, then we need to understand that not everybody who call themselves Christian are going to make the rapture. For sure. I mean, I wish everybody would. Don't you? I wish everybody would. As long as they call themselves Christian. As long as they can say, oh, I'm born again. And I have the Holy Ghost. Wonderful. You know. You meet somebody to talk to, say, oh, I'm a Christian. Good. He's a Christian. And if he's a Christian, well, maybe you could share with him the message. Make him to become more aware. Or maybe just a Christian without any knowledge. So if we have the message, and we know that in Laodicea, the seven churches in chapter 3 of Revelation, it says that the church is what? Lukewarm. Is that not true? Okay. Now we have church lukewarm. But God says, if I wish that you were cold or hot, so I know what you are, so I can deal with you. But the problem is, you are lukewarm, I don't know what to do with you. I just spit you out. Okay? Right. So now, God also said, Christ, rather, you know, speaking to John in the vision, what he said about? He said, you're so proud of yourself. You say you're rich. And admit no nothing. Pretty well known verse. Is this not what the church is today? Is it not? It is. I know you're nothing. And God said, you don't even know that you're naked. And you're miserable. And then in chapter, Revelation chapter 18, I believe it is, or 17. Let's go to it. 17. Huh? He said, you see the woman, the mystery of Babylon, in verse 17, chapter 17, verse 5. Okay, and then in chapter 18, in verse 4, what he says here? Chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plague. Right? Oh, what is that? Is that not a serious warning? So, if we are in Laodicea, this is Laodicea church, and all that which is God look at it as filthy. So God says to come out. So now if we are coming out of them, so what happened to this period when we come out? Now, if any of you still are part of this Laodicea group, in this system, this mystery law system, something is wrong with you. So if you come out here, what do you do? A lot of people came out of the system. Do you know there's a lot of them, there are independent churches today? Many of them have left, even in Singapore, that's why they have a lot of cell group in Singapore. The fellowship at home. You know. Our government knows about it. They're just the cell group, or private group. But what do? They come out, so what happened? If you come out of the system, you must go out somewhere. And that's why people don't understand that when you come out of the system, you have to enter into some place. And that is where? Into the marriage of the Lamb. That we have to enter into the full world, the Word of God. So you cannot have anything that is here, bring it out and put it inside here. When we come out completely. Because as we know in the book of Joshua, when they went in and fight the battle of Jericho, and God said, don't you touch any of those unclean things. All those Babylonish things, don't touch it. What happened to Achan? He took it. And God said, there's an abomination. And you know how many people died? How many soldiers died? And Joshua was so upset and he sipped the mouth of the Lord and found out who was the one who caused this trouble. And found to be Achan. That the Bible called it an abomination. Those abominations, those are, filthy things. Why would people want to touch anything that is filthy? And people wanted to believe in the Holy Trinity. And they still say, what? We are wrong. Well, if you're not wrong, then something is wrong with the Bible. The baptizing of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you know something? All these years that I've been a message, since 1971 until now, you know what happened the last 10 years? The whole, all the end time message churches have been shaken. Yes. And many of the churches are in confusion. Preacher, many of them have left the message. Why? Why? There are people who, back in 1980s, there was this man, I think he also, no, John Kenneth. He was, Cornelius tells me, he was 12 years in the church of, in Tucson Tabernacle. 12 years. He was a deacon, if I remember correctly. 12 years in that church. And he studied the message of Brother Branham, believing in it. But when he studied, he saw discrepancy, asked the pastor's advice, he said, well, just believe it. If you don't understand it, just believe it. There are contradicting statements that Brother Branham had. So, he was just told to believe it. But after 12 years, he had enough of it. He left. And then he looked through all the message of Brother Branham, now exposed Brother Branham as being, I don't know what you would call him, a false prophet. Or that he's not what he was. That was back in the 80s. And I spoke to him on the phone. And he said, you are the Branham. I said, I'm not Branham. He said, you be Brother Branham, so why are you not Branham? I said, I believe God doesn't make me a Branham. I said, I believe Paul, it doesn't make me a Paulite. I believe in John Wesley's teaching too, but doesn't make me a Wesleyan. Because I don't take those men's word to be absolute. That was back in the 80s, early 1981, I believe, around that.
because I was then 79, 80, 81. And you know, now in the year, last 10 years, I just start having a lot of problems. More people are questioning. And then there are others added to John Kenneth, and more than the last few years ago. Some preachers too, I don't know, love the message. Some of you know about it. You see. And now I have email from others too. They're asking me questions. And these people are people that I know, preachers that I know. They are troubled. They are very troubled by what they read on the internet. So where are we, brothers? Where are we? If we have, we have come out into the world, so what do we do with this word? But instead of dealing with the word, the people are dealing with what? The quotes of Brother Branham. Let me say this to you. I'm always trying to help these people to understand. That a man said, if Brother Branham said one time, he said two times, he said the three times, means that you know what he's saying. It's they are not mystics, they are lies, he said. Let me show you a lie in the Bible. I can show you many lies in the Bible. You know what I mean? I can show you many lies in the Bible. You want me to show you a lie? Okay. Give me some of a lie. Go to the book of Matthew. Let me ask you first of all a question. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem, what was he riding on? I used to know your Bible. What was he sitting on when he went into Jerusalem? Come on. A coat. You know what a coat is? Huh? Okay. And he said the coat, the fowl of an ass. The fowl, you know, the fowl means a young. A coat, the coat is not a full grown one, huh? It's a fowl. Huh? You call it a foal?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Foal is everywhere. Foal. The foal of an ass. Alright? The court, the foal of an ass. Rode into Jerusalem. But let's see what that is prophesied in Jeremiah. Okay? That's written in the gospel. But let's see what Matthew said. Chapter 21 and verse. Okay, start from verse 1. And when they do now to Jerusalem, and they come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied with a cord with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord have need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye, the daughter of Zion, behold, a king cometh unto you, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciple went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set Jesus thereon. Now, you understand what he says? The ass, the coat, they put clothing, the garment on the coat and the ass, and they put Jesus on them. So Jesus sitting on two animals. That's what the Bible said. That's what Matthew said. Huh? So this is what he says. You know, I can say another one. You know what Elijah said? When he ran away from Jezebel, he said, they want to kill me. I'm the only one left, you know. Well, he thinks he's the only one left. But I could say that he lied too. I'm the only one left. So, how do you read? You know, when you read a verse of scripture, or when you hear somebody say something, even though how many times, it doesn't matter. I wonder how many times that Jesus said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up.
You know, he was at the temple a few times, you know. But only the Bible record the one incident. The same thing is, unless you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you have no eternal life. Only one incident. Because, you know, the Bible is all very much contrite. What do we take? A man's word? I mean, even though it's written, so to speak, that's what Jesus said, take it how you hear and what you hear. Take you how you read and what you read. I mean, it's the word of God. I know it's the word of God. But Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. See, God says it's three. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. How you read? How you hear? Brother Abraham said that Jesus was born in April. Do you know that? It's a big time. The season is springtime, and that's when lambs are born. And I get these letters telling me and arguing me, but again, you preach on the, you know, your sermons, you know, but Birmingham said he was born in April. I got so fed up, finally, after all this year, I wrote an article. I'm going to put it on our website, maybe tomorrow. Was he born in April? Because it was springtime. He cannot be born in September because it was cold. That's what Abraham said, because what they said was because he was in America. The temperature in the Mediterranean are different from that in America. So sometimes Abraham speak without thinking. And Abraham, you're speaking against the prophet. No, I'm not speaking against the prophet. I'm speaking the truth. That he was human, he made mistakes. You know, Abraham, 700 did not bow down to Baal. Is that not a mistake? I have people come in and tell me. No, brother again. Brother Abraham said 700, it means 700. And there's a mystery to it, because 700 is going to make the rapture. Who said that? If you don't believe Brother Abraham made a mistake, then you can have all kinds of ideas. And the same thing, if you don't know how to look at the scriptures, you have all kinds of ideas. And even so much so in those years past. The denomination, when it comes to baptism in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or the name of Jesus Christ, they say, I will take the word of Jesus. They will not take the word of the book of Acts where Peter spoke it. What are they denying? Huh? You know, there are a lot of foolish things. That's not what the Bible said. Jesus Christ is still threshing the floor. Is that right? He's still wailing the floor. Getting rid of the shack. Because we are in this present interval, and Christ is going to close it up pretty soon. So where are you at? What field are you in? Huh? Quickly let us read some of the words. Okay? John chapter 6 verse 12. Now what we have said earlier on in John, that there are 153. Is that right? 153 fishes. And the net was not broken. But now let's see what John said in verse chapter 6 and verse 12. Here you have Jesus' feet, the 5,000. And he said here, when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, get up the fragment that remained, that nothing be lost, that nothing be lost. You know, the bread of life. I mean, if you break the bread and the fish, right? You feed it. Get it all. Nothing be lost. The word of God cannot be lost. It must, as the Bible says, the word that goes forth from the mouth of God will not return unto him void. If the word of God goes out to you, you are the seed. Because the word is a seed. Therefore, the seed of God cannot be lost. Right? But he's still threshing the floor, because we do not know who really are seeds and who are not. But if you are seed, you will remain. If you are not, you'll be carried away by the wind. Let's go to the book of Matthew 25. We're not going to read all that, but just to refer to that chapter for you to look at. Yeah, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Is regarding the judgment of the nation. When Jesus Christ shall come back, how he will sit and judge the nations of the world, dividing the sheep from the goat. Alright? Now that is after the tribulation. I hope you remember. Now, that means to say that God have a people that is in His field, that His soul. But after the rapture is over, after the tribulation is over, Christ come back to judge, those are not seeds, you understand? Those are not seeds that are sown in His field. How many of you are aware of that? Yes. Christ come and divide the nation, separating the sheep from the goat. The sheep are those who have done the right things to God's people. And for those who don't do the right thing to God's people, God says, Jesus said, as much as you've done the least of these to my brethren. Who are His brethren? In speaking to the Jew, to the children of Israel, the brethren is the Jew. Right? But He's speaking of us, we are His brethren. So, you know, there are people who've done a lot of good things to the Jew when they are in need of help. Like in the Second World War, during the Holocaust. You know. And what about today? There are people who are treating Christian good, even though they are not Christian. But there are those who treat the Christian bad as well. So this is yet another stage, okay? And then we have in Mark 16, I mean, the 2nd Thessalonians, rather, 2nd Thessalonians, Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 to 10. Here to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angel, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints, to be a mind in all of them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So that is still in the future when Christ comes, as I said, to judge the nation. So for those that believe not, they'll be damned. Okay, 2 Thessalonians. Remember, we are talking about right now, we are very close to the coming of the Lord. So how are you going to deal with your life in Christ Jesus? Are you keeping it? Because we are very fast approaching that trumpet. We are very fast approaching that day. I don't know. You know, Pierre and all those old men up in were just waiting for next year to come and see whether the California earthquake will start. After all, Israel is 68 years old. 68 years old now. Next year, May the 14th. Is it 14 or 16? May 16, huh? Is the birthday of Israel. And it will be 69. And that next year is 2017. And then when that thing started, well, would it end or would it carry on to 2018? And Israel will be 70 years old. Will everything end and then? We do not know. But the world is in big problem. A cesspool of problem. How are they dealing with it? They can't. And the biggest crook is America. With it, London or England, and then Europe. Creating financial flow of, you know, so that, you know, keep the financial system alive. By going to war and creating war, selling weapons to decide that size of the people will fight to keep the economy going. They couldn't care less. They're all guilty of crime. Not just Hitler. not just Saddam Hussein. There's not all these terrorists. The whole world is a mess. Huh? And what about the weather? Now, it's coming, this is already June. And it's coming towards July. And then you know this is the season where there's going to be typhoon coming up. Huh? And it's going to be very wet this coming next few months. And what happened to Paris last few days? What is causing all this problem? And the weather has gone hotter. I was watching one documentary on the Amazon jungle. How that the forest was being cut down. They had an oxygen producing machine. You cut down all the trees, start all the trees. And the indigenous people, they are living there. They are destroying the ecosystem. Who are these people? Those giants, those Canaanite giants who all think about this money. Huh? Monsanto's and Synthes, BASF, that's from German, Exxon, and all these others, many companies. Huh? They play with the genes of the food, of the plant. And the Philippines is one of the countries that Monsanto was dealing with. What did they do to make the rice grow faster? What's the worth of that rice? Children are born with autism because of some chemical they spray out there. And the worker who work in those places, they are suffering from diseases. And they know it. But they say, what can I do? I need work. I need money to feed my family. Oh my goodness. You know. So the whole world is coming to this stage. Yes, science is producing good results. There's a lot of high technology. They discover this, they discover that. Marvelous. Nanotechnology. Unbelievable. Right in the news recently. Huh? And now scientists say that, just a few days ago, I think it was in the paper, not, I can't remember now, that the universe is expanding 5 to 9% faster. Wasn't it in the newspaper? They said the universe is expanding 5 to 9% faster. And I don't believe that the universe is expanding. However, they go and look at it. But God, the Bible tells me one thing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created. That's it. It's expanding some more. Yeah? And now just only one and wonder. No matter how they look for life out there, they're not going to find because there's no life. So we are going to read this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. And it says here, and for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 11 to 12. You know, lots of people don't believe in Christ. They don't believe in God. God doesn't exist. And this time, you know what? And I saw the marvelous things of nature. It's just unbelievable. Saw a documentary the other day about the nature of things out there. And a man was talking about the Fibonacci numbers. You know the Fibonacci numbers? 1 plus 1 equals to 2. 2 plus 2 equals to 3. 3 plus 2 equals to 5. 5 plus 3 equals to 8. The number they were just by adding the number before it, two numbers before it, give the next. Okay? And continually adding. And they found that in the field of daisy, they find daisy with three petals, 5 petals, 8 petals, 13 petals, 21, and all Fibonacci numbers. Your cabbage. You know, if you look at the bottom, if you look at the corn, they're all the Fibonacci numbers, they're all natural. God has put a signature out there. And you come and tell me that there's no God? And these people are scientists, they study, they're all so smart. And God sent them a strong delusion, they believe not, that they will believe a lie. Yes, think that this by itself. I can tell you one thing. If thing exists by itself, your nose will be turning upside down. You ever wonder how your eyebrows and your eyes are the way it is, and your nose are like that, and your mouth is below the nose? How come the mouth is not above the nose? Because God knows how He's creating. And the finger, why is the finger like that? You see this Fibonacci junction here? How many percentage of this is to this, to this, is to this? They're all are Fibonacci numbers here. God created those things to make so that you can move properly. And why there need to be two bones here? Not just one bone. One there is two bones so you can turn. Why put just only one bone? You have to turn your arm like that. You know the thing that God created, and the people said there's no God. God sent them a strong delusion. And yet you know that the Bible said the last day, knowledge will increase. And when it increases, it makes these people more unrighteous. They increase so much that they can't even see God. They only think about their wisdom and their smartness. But with the increase of knowledge, increase of the knowledge of scriptures. Is it not true? Huh? That we see more today than it was 50 years ago, than it was 100 years ago. Because God wants to show us His plan and purpose to a people. Huh? So there is always that the graph. You want to go up higher? It's narrower. The pyramid, remember? Yes. The smaller you get in natural, in things of the world, the more stupid you are. That's also true. Alright, Jeremiah 8, two more verses. Jeremiah 8, 10. Jeremiah 8, 10. Let us read what this. What happened when the day of the Lord comes? The day when Christ come. You know, when everything is over. When they don't hear the gospel, they don't know what that gospel and how, what happened. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. This is, you know, taking out to show an example. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. The harvest is gone. Now, if the harvest is gone, everything is finished. The food of the Gentiles comes in. It's all over. And you are not safe. Left behind. 1 Thessalonians. End with this chapter, this verse. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Oh, not so well. Verse 16 to 17. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now if there was no, if Bergman did not come, if God did not send him to come in, just tell us that the show is the message, you know, then we will still not be able to understand all the things. He said, that's why when I found that when he said the show is the message, then he brings me over to Matthew 25. And when I was in America for the convention, back in the 1980s, I think the second trip, well, I was standing outside the motel and ministers were there, were talking. So they were all asking, they were all discussing about what is the marriage? What is the marriage of the Lamb? So these are ministers, you know, and I just stand there listening. I want to see what they were saying. And one of the brothers said, oh, the marriage of the Lamb, you know, it's after we are gone up there, we're going to have the marriage up there. You know, then another brother said, no, I think the marriage should be on this earth. And I said to them, you are right, brother. Then they look at me. And I told them, because it's an oriental marriage, oriental setting in the Bible. So that's when I came back and wrote that message, the marriage of the Lamb. You see, there are a lot of things that a lot of people don't see. It's because they're looking in the American way, they're looking in the way that the Bible just written, as my friend used to say, if it is literal, take whatever is literal. Huh? But there are a lot of things that's not literal. A lot of things are spoken in symbol, figurative speaking. You see. So, we thank God that because of this simplicity, when Brother Ben said, the show is the message. Then we realize that if the show is the message, we can see the other two, what it's all about. We come out, we were called to come out and to meet the bridegroom. And when we meet the bridegroom, where do they enter in? Where did the virgin enter in? They enter into the marriage. The only the wise one enter in the marriage. The foolish one still going out there looking for it. Where there's a setting set? Where's the setting? It's here. On this earth. The foolish are still looking for why, but the wise has gone into the marriage, and we are now in the marriage with Christ, having a wonderful time. Huh? In spiritual intercourse with Him, in spiritual fellowship with Him, or eating of the Word, and you know what I mean? That's the feasting. And then, during that time, when the wife makes herself ready, the wife says, I make herself ready, then what happens? The last trump will sound. Surely. Because we are going home. Do you understand that? You're going home. Well, a good son to go home and meet the Father. And then out there, Christ will present the bride or the wife to the Father. And we have another grand marriage feast. Because our dad is in the Father's house. This is the bride's home on this earth while we are here. Huh? Christ come to take the bride. So we have feasting here. You understand? Huh? So this is time for us to make ourselves ready as wife. God bless. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, Lord. In this present hour we live in, thy word is still, O Lord, being sent forth to those who are still your elect. Out there somewhere. When the last one comes in, Father, we know the Gentile time is over. And then you will turn and go back to your people, Abraham's people, through Isaac. And we know, Lord, while we are here now at this time, help us to remember, Lord, that we shall walk in thy word and thy light. Fight a good fight. Always, Lord. See the day fast approaching now. Because, Lord, the harvest is going to end pretty soon. And all the wheat will be gathered into the garner. And then Christ will pack it up and take with him back to the Father. We thank you, Father, for your grace, O Lord. Knowing that you still are touching the floor, the root of every shaft, because Lord, the seed is never ever the shaft. So keep us, Father. If we are your seed, let us remain faithful, O Lord, to your work, and we know that the manifestation, O Lord, of the seed of life will show in our life. So we ask for your guiding hand to the rest of this journey until we see Christ face to face, Father. keep us, strengthen us again. For this we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.